Blog Talk Radio.
This is your old cotton picking, snuff dipping, tobacco chewing, stump jumping, gravy sopping, coffee pot dodging, dumpling eating hillbilly from Hill County.
If you need some advice in being lonely,
what's the old saying? I'd rather be lucky than good, and I've been real lucky.
Willie began his career as a songwriter over 50 years ago. Hundreds of albums and thousands of songs later, turns out he was lucky and good. If being a musician can be considered a calling, then Willie Nelson got the call at birth and nothing could stop him. In the next hour, we'll hear about Willie's life and music from Willie, Sister Bobby, Paul English, Mickey Raphael, Jody Payne, Ray Wiley Hubbard, Nels Klein, and Pootie Locke. I'm Rodney Crowell, and welcome to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. Welcome back to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. I'm Rodney Crowell.
If you need some advice in being lonely,
Willie Nelson.
I was writing poems when I was 4 and 5 years old, writing about things I couldn't have known anything about. So I don't know, you know, I'm a songwriter, and I'm write things that rhyme, and I've done it all my life, and it's not really difficult to do. I think a songwriter can write songs if that's what he's supposed to do. Now, how good they are, that's a matter of opinion.
At age 11, Willie put together a songbook of his own full of lyrics about sadness and love gone wrong. A few years later, he and Sister Bobby Nelson were out on the road.
We had played as our first band was Bud Fletcher and the Texans, and Bud Fletcher was my husband. I married him at 16, and Willie was 14 at that time when we had our first band, and Bud organized the band with Willie and I, and we had that band until I guess 1955.
By then, Willie was married and had a daughter. He was playing clubs at night and spinning records by day.
I was a disc jockey down at KBOP in Pleasanton, Texas. And I wrote the song, and I was sitting there with my guitar playing records, and there was a recorder over there. So the first time I recorded this song, I was doing my work. I was a disc jockey, but I turned the mic on and sang into the recorder, just me and the guitar. And recorded when I sung the last hillbilly song.
First recording of Willie Nelson, circa 1955.
Turn out the lights.
Singer and songwriter Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Well, I tell you what, a lot of depth and weight. You know, I mean, he was just one of the first guys that was doing, that seemed like he really cared about his lyrics. You know, and here, you know, just, you know, this is And also he's reaching, whoa, welcome to Austin. And it's still pretty wild here, isn't it? You know, he would just reach down and you know, pull out, you know, he would just like tear off little fragments of his soul and rhyme them and put them in the music, you know. So that's what I, and he still does it, you know, still a remarkable songwriter.
I just write songs. I don't really have any motivation. Usually, you know, it's pretty simple process, and I hear what I want to hear, and it's not really that difficult. It's not a hard thing to do, because if it's, you know, if I hear it and sing it, there it is, and so it shouldn't take that long. It's, you know, it's not hard work, really. I usually find that if I really need to write a song, I can go jump in my car and go get on the interstate and take off. And somewhere between here and there, I can write a song. But I need to get away from everything in order to do it, and it's a little harder these days now than it used to be.
These days, Willie is constantly busy touring, recording, helping a cause, or playing golf. Willie broke himself into the music business in 1957 by recording and selling his own 45 RPM record. 3,000 copies later, with an autographed picture as a bonus, Willie was on his way.
Your love is as cold as the north wind blows and the river that runs to the sea. How can I go on when your only love is gone? I can see that there's no place for me. The light in your eyes is still shining. It shines, but it don't shine for me. It's a story so old, another love grown cold. I can see this is no place for me. The light in your eyes is still shining. It shines, but it don't shine for me. It's a story so old, another love grown cold. I can see that there's no place for me.
No Place for Me, performed by Willie Nelson in 1957. I'm Rodney Crowell, and you're listening to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson.
Family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and hard to read, but the Family Bible on the table will ever be my key to know.
Born in 1933, Willie and his sister Bobby were raised by their grandparents. Music filled the house.
First song I remember singing was Amazing Grace, and along with songs like Show Me the Way to Go Home and those kind of old, you know, traditional songs that I learned, Old Blue and Polly Wally Doodle and all those old songs. I learned them all.
Willie Nelson.
My grandparents were music teachers, so, and I was, you know, about 6 months when they started raising me. And so all my life I heard them singing, and they would sing out of the gospel songbooks, and sometimes they would sing Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, singing, and they would read the shape notes and sing them. And I grew up listening to that kind of music, and all my life I've heard that.
Bobby Nelson.
The music that we started with, to begin with, was gospel and the music from the church, because my grandmother and grandfather always were in the church, and I was practically born in the door of this little church.
We were Methodists, and we went to church almost every night. There was something going on. There was Monday night prayer meeting, Wednesday night visitation, and this different things, and the choir practice. So every night was almost something to do at church, and the good news, it was something to do, something to go. Abbott was a very small town, so any action at all was good.
I was so interested in the piano that the lady played at the church, and I had made a keyboard out of pasteboard and a box and a Crayola one day when Willie and I were under our peach tree in our backyard, and I was playing like I was playing the piano.
Well, she knew music, first of all, and so she was 3 years older than I. So when she was very young, I was younger, she would sit on the piano and play and have the music there and reading it, and I'd sit next to her with a guitar. And I would learn the chords as she would tell me, this is a B-flat or this is an E-sharp or whatever. And I would learn the music the way she was reading it. And so she was kind of like my right arm, and still is. She's still the best musician on the bandstand right now. And we all depend on her to keep us pointed in the right direction.
When I ran to the store with a penny, and when youth was abundant and plenty, classify these as good times. Good times. When I rolled rubber tires in the driveway, pulled a purse on a string across the highway, classify these as good times. Good times. Good times are coming, humming. Good times are coming, humming. Go to school, fight a war, working steady. Meet a girl, fall in love before I'm ready. Classify these as good times. Good times. Here I sit with a drink and a memory, but I'm not cold, I'm not wet, and I'm not hungry. So classify these as good times. Good times. Good times are coming, humming. Good times.
Good Times, performed by Willie Nelson.
Usually when I was writing, it was a long time before I, had any recordings or anything, so I wasn't writing to write hits. I was just writing to get my thoughts out there. So, and I never did really think about writing hits. I just always wrote what I liked.
After one of his songs called Family Bible became a hit for Claude Gray in 1960, Willie started getting a lot of attention. He moved to Nashville, the center of the country music recording industry, and tried to find work as a songwriter. For the next 10 years, Willie found success and frustration in Nashville. While his songs were popular, Willie's voice didn't quite fit the Nashville mold.
My singing and writing and phrasing was a little different. And, I think that's the main reason. The songs that I was writing weren't necessarily what you would call the old traditional country song. Some of them had more than three chords in them. And there's a lot of reasons that they figured that maybe my writing and singing and phrasing wasn't commercial. And, I didn't really mind them saying that, because I had already been making a pretty good living doing what I did in Texas before I ever got to Nashville. So I knew they were a little off base because I knew what I was doing was already selling and was already successful.
One of those songs was made famous by Patsy Cline, Crazy.
I wrote that song too when I was, you know, hanging out down there in Houston. And I used to joke around and tell everybody the original title was stupid. But
I'm crazy. Crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy. Crazy for feeling so blue. I knew that you'd love me as long as you wanted. And then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the world did I do? I'm crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying. And I'm crazy for loving you. I'm crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying. And I'm crazy for loving you.
That was Crazy, written and performed by Willie Nelson. Coming up, Willie moves back to Texas and finds a new crowd, plus a lot more music. I'm Rodney Crowell, and you're listening to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. Welcome back to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. I'm Rodney Crowell. In his mid-20s, Willie Nelson wrote a lot of songs, but he was also trying to make a living. One song he sold was Nightlife.
I was working in Houston teaching music at Paul Buskirk's music studio there. And I sold the song to Paul Buskirk and Walt Breland. You know, I was writing a lot of songs, and I was selling them for $50, $100 to pay the rent, buy groceries, and didn't think a lot about it. But in later years, I started thinking about it a little bit. Well, I still would have done the same thing, because I still needed the $50 or $100 or whatever it was, and I had no idea that I would ever make any money off of the songs anyway. I was trying to make a living, so I don't have that many regrets about it. It was, you know, that was the first money I'd made, so it was more than I'd made the night before playing over at the Esquire Club in Houston, so I figured I'd stumbled onto something.
When the evening sun goes down, nightlife ain't a good life, but it's my life. many people just like me, dreaming of old used to be. And the nightlife ain't a good life, but it's my life. Listen to the blues they're playing. Listen to what the blues are saying. Mine is just another scene from the world of broken dreams. And the nightlife ain't a good life, but it's my life. Listen to the blues they're playing. Listen to what the blues are saying. Mine is just another scene from the world of broken dreams. And the nightlife ain't a good life, but it's my life.
Nightlife, performed by Willie Nelson. After 10 years in Nashville, Willie's house burned down. He returned to Texas, eventually settling in Austin, home to a large music scene. Ray Wiley Hubbard was part of it.
It was kind of at that time back in Austin when Willie, I think, had his house had burned down. He'd moved to Austin, and then, of course, Jerry Jeff Walker moved here, and B.W. Stevenson and Michael Murphy. So there was this whole kind of the progressive country outlaw thing happening, and the Cosmic Cowboy was kind of the hippies, you know, that grew long hair, but they wore cowboy boots and cowboy hats, and kind of raising the consciousness of country music by, you know, because everybody had such good lyrics. You know, Willie was such a great songwriter, and everything was coming together, you know, all these guys. And so it was a really very special time in Austin. It was progressive, and it was, you know, outlaw from what was going on the rest of the country.
Hootie Locke has been Willie's stage manager since 1973.
It was the Armadillo, but then this place called the Lion's Wagon Yard was down off 6th Street, New Aces. And on Monday night, you could see Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, Roger McGuinn, Willie, Jerry Jeff Walker, B, our bass player, Rex playing drums, Jody playing guitar, B's dad playing fiddle when he was too drunk to pick the ball up. On a Monday night for no cover charge, there'd be like 80 people in there, that'd be it. Thread Gills, you know, Janis Joplin was a waitress at Thread Gills, and they let her sing when Kenneth would take a break. Jimmy Buffett played the breaks when Jerry Jeff Walker played Gaspel Creek. Buffett would do an acoustic thing for 20 minutes and sleep in the bar. Bruce Springsteen came down to play the Armadillo to open up for Commander Cody. That's what Austin used to be like.
Willie Nelson.
Well, I don't know. I started hanging out in Austin a lot, and when I moved down there, I ran into a lot of good folks around the Armadillo World headquarters, and we played there and started playing to all those diverse crowds and audiences down there, hippies, rednecks, what have you. And I knew that it was working. I knew that everyone was liking the country music, regardless of where they had come from. They still, you know, Graham Parsons was hot back in those days, Commander Cody, and all those things were coming together, along with Waylon and me and some more folks. And I just knew that we had stumbled onto something there, that there was a huge audience for what we were doing. So I told Waylon about it in Nashville, and he come down, and sure enough, you know, they loved him as much as I thought they would. And I remember the first night we got there, and he was looked out there, and he saw all those long-haired cowboys out there, and he said, "What the hell have you got me into this time, Willie?"
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds and gold. Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him and he don't die young, you'll probably just ride away. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys like smoky old pool rooms and clear mountain mornings, little warm puppies and children and girls of night. Sometimes won't know how to take him. He ain't wrong, he's just different. But his pride won't let him do things to make you think he's right. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old. Make them be doctors and lawyers.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Performed by Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. I'm Rodney Crowell, and you're listening to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. Waylon and Willie are considered the first outlaws in country music. Willie explains.
We ran into each other through the years, and we decided to record together. A lot of it started with... Well, he was recording for a label, and Chips Moman was producing him. He did Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. And I was with another label, but we managed to sneak into the studio and do a lot of things together. And so that's where really the term outlaw came, I think, is we were in there in the dead of night recording songs that no one knew. He was under one contract, I was under another, and then when all these songs came out as duets, then it was up to the lawyers and agents to figure out how we could get them out there, and we just kind of laid it in their lap, and they got it done. We did Good Hearted Woman, and we did a lot of good things together.
The outlaws of country music were trying to gain artistic control of their music, but we'll get into that later. After a long stint with RCA Records, Willie signed with Atlantic. He continued to write songs that reflected the events of his life. Drummer Paul English.
We were in New York, as I told you about. You know, we went up there and we cut two albums in a week. And, you know, so if you listen to Shotgun Willis, sits around in underwear, can't make music if you ain't got nothing to say. That's what he's saying. See, he wrote that after we'd already done that. You see what I'm talking about? he wrote that song, and it's about what we were really doing.
Well, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't play music if you don't know nothing to play. A shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there.
Some songs were more spur of the moment.
Yeah, I used to have some of the songs he wrote, you know, the real ones. A Shotgun Willie? Put it in the back of a Holiday Inn disposable bag. I was offered $10,000 for that. He wrote Bloody Mary Morning. He wrote that coming back. Matter of fact, he says on Flight 50. It was Continental Flight 50. That was really the flight. And he wrote that coming back from... He just played on the Glenn Campbell show. And he was on the plane, and the girl come along and said, "What do you want to drink?" And he looked out the window and he said, "Looks like a Bloody Mary morning to me." There. Well, I just write. He wrote it on the back of his airline ticket. And when we got to Houston, he'd already written it out.
Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, baby. Left me without warning sometime in the night. So I'm flying down to Houston with forgetting her the nature of my flight. As we taxi toward the runway with the smog and haze reminding me of how I feel. Just a country boy who's learning that the pitfalls of the city are extremely real. All the nightlife and parties, temptation and deceit, the order of the day. Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, 'cause I'm leaving, baby, somewhere in L.A. Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, baby, left me without warning sometime in the night. So I'm flying down to Houston with forgetting her the nature of my flight.
Bloody Mary Morning, performed by Willie Nelson. In a minute, Willie gains artistic control of his music, expands his range, and scratches a hole in his guitar. I'm Rodney Crowell, and you're listening to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. Welcome back to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. I'm Rodney Crowell. By the mid-1970s, Willie Nelson was sticking to Texas. He toured around the state and waited for his contract with a record label to expire.
I'd have to be crazy to stop all my singing and never play music again.
Drummer Paul English.
This way I understand it. What RCA wanted to do, they wanted to, a year before his contract was up, they wanted to re-sign. And he had no artist control over he'd go in and they'd cut the record, and then they would put all the strings and everything behind it. Well, we were doing pretty good with Texas, just doing our little four-piece band, you know. But that they liked that. People seemed like they liked that. And even though these strings and everything were beautiful, they weren't really willy. So, you know, and they didn't sort of go down with us. But anyway, Willie, he didn't want to sign the year before it was up. He wanted artist control. He wanted a lot of things.
We write what we live, and we live what we write. Is that wrong? If you think it is, Mr. Music Executive, why don't you write your own song? And don't listen to mine.
After his time with RCA and Atlantic Records, Willie, the outlaw country star, found what he was looking for.
Well, when you're under contract to a record label, then you have to wait. And so I waited through two complete contracts with the record companies before I was able to do my music the way I wanted to. And when I signed up with the new record company, CBS, one of the provisions was that I had artistic control. And that was the first time really in my life that I had had that, especially since I went to Nashville.
Willie and band recorded one of country music's first concept albums, Redheaded Stranger. It's a story of redemption that eventually was made into a movie starring Willie. Again, Paul English.
And that's the one, Redheaded Stranger. And what they did now, they heard it. They heard the record. And they said, Willie, why don't we come out with something more commercial and then get their attention, and then we bring this out behind it. Well, I could see their reasoning in that. You know, that's probably pretty good. Yeah, that's a good thought. That's pretty good, you know. Willie said, no. You know, this is what it's going to be, or nothing. And you know what happened to Redheaded Stranger. That was the one. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain was the single, and Redheaded Stranger was the hit. That was it.
In twilight glow I see blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember, and only memories remain. And through the ages, I'll remember blue eyes crying.
Crying in the Rain, performed by Willie Nelson. One of the benefits of creative control is that an artist can stretch out and try new things. Willie's album of jazz standards came about from chatting with his neighbor in 1977.
Yeah, we were out there in L.A. and Malibu, and we lived in an apartment on the first floor, and right above us, Booker T had an apartment up there, and he was married at that time to Priscilla Coolidge, Rita's sister. And we became good friends, and we started putting this album together, the Stardust album, and I really couldn't have ever done that album without Booker T, because he was knowledgeable enough to write arrangements and for things like Moonlight in Vermont and Stardust, which really takes a pro to do that. But there he was, living up one floor above, so we made some good music together.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights.
Singing these old standards is not easy, but Willie puts it into perspective with his usual humility.
Well, one thing about doing a song that you wrote, nobody knows if you screwed up. But if you're doing Moonlight in Vermont and Stardust, they know immediately if you don't get the melody right or a chord is missing. So that's the difference. I mean, these songs are such classics that, you know, if you're a singer, if you just sing the melody, that's enough. You don't have to really work out on these songs because it's all there.
Mickey Raphael has been the harmonica player in Willie's band since 1973.
When we were doing Stardust, the Stardust album that Booker T. Jones produced, and we recorded it in a house in Beverly Hills. There was a big kind of sprawling ranch house in Beverly Hills. And it was Emmylou Harris's and her husband Brian Ahern's house, and that's where they did all Emmylou's albums. And we'd set up in the house, I mean the living room. And I'd done several records with Emmylou there, and my little space was in the shower. There was a bathroom off to the side and a shower, a tile shower that just had the best ambient sound. So the microphone was set up in the shower. And we never played the songs too many times, and we would just play them through a couple of times. And when Willie got a vocal that he liked, that was it.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, and just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see the road back to you. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps yours on my mind. just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind. On my mind, on my mind, on my mind. On my mind.
Georgia on My Mind, performed by Willie Nelson. I'm Rodney Crowell, and you're listening to My Own Peculiar Way, the songs of Willie Nelson. Whether singing one of his own songs or a standard, Willie's voice is instantly recognizable. His guitar playing is equally unique. Nels Klein plays guitar for the band Wilco.
To me, Willie Nelson's guitar playing is jazzish because of its not just melodic sense, but also its unbelievable rhythmic phrasing. He's delightfully eccentric with his phrasing, very much like a jazz singer to me, maybe like Frank Sinatra or somebody. And his sort of late delivery of certain phrases, sometimes so for so long over the bar that you can almost not count where you are in the song because he's just spacing it out so far and almost invariably wraps it up in a brilliant way. You're just thinking, oh man, is he lost? You know, really direct, but at the same time, really quirky.
One of the trademarks of Willie's guitar style is the guitar itself. Harmonica player Mickey Raphael.
He named his guitar Trigger. I guess he loves the Western stars. He has a Western channel going on the bus all the time on the TV. So, and he loves Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. And I guess he named it Trigger after Roy Rogers' horse.
Trigger has a hole under the string, a result of Willie's strumming through the years. Guitarist Jody Payne has played with Willie since 1973.
You know, people say, how did it get that way? Well, if you look at it, here's the little king of the cowboys up there with his guitar and his pick. He's not supposed to use a pick on a nylon string, but sawdust just flying, and these little New Balance shoes have got Willie Nelson Picnic on, just going like, looks like one of them little dancing ducks, you know. Hey, that's how he wore that toll in there.
And it's totally unique. I mean, there's nothing that sounds...